This week's parasha is Parashas HaChodesh. It's a very big week in the world. It marks the beginning of a new month, Chodesh Nisan, which is the first of all months. And it's a special Kriyas HaTorah, Parashas HaChodesh, HaChodesh Elohim, when we got our first mitzvah. And there's a lot of newness in the air this Shabbos. There's a lot of creativity, there's a lot of ischachos, and the Svarim HaKadoshim write that if you feel that you're a little stuck in your Aveda, and if you were, that would be understandable. It's a long year, it's an Ibriyar, two Adars, and sometimes a person could get a little bit a feeling that he's not, he's already had it, he's done. Comes along Parashas HaChodesh and gives us a booster shot of hischadshus, of newness, to be able to feel once again refreshed and revived and renewed, so that we're able to begin a new year in a sense. A hischadshus of a new year in terms of chadashim, at least, that will be fresh with Avedas Hashem. This is chachos, this newness is really something that a yid should have every single day. Because we say every morning in davening, HaMachadesh B'tuvay B'chol Yayim Tamin Masav Reishis. Every single day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu renews the entire Masav Reishis. The entire creation is renewed every single day. And when we speak about creation, what does that mean that Hashem recreates the world? Why does he do that? What's the point of recreating the world? The world is fine. Why do we need to have everything recreated? And the answer is that the world isn't the world. When we speak about a world, we're not talking about skyscrapers and trees and clouds. We're speaking about Torah. Because the entire world we know, we believe, was created only for the sake of Torah. So if a person is able to understand every single day that there is a fresh day, that the world is recreated, that means that there is like a Torah Chadasha, there is a new recreation of Torah, which enables us to have an excitement when we're opening up our Gemara. That's the way it should be, at least, in a perfect world. But sometimes it's not. Sometimes we're human, and we feel that, you know, I feel like I'm a little not so excited about my learning. That's okay. But these days of Rosh Chodesh Nisan, this Chachos of Chodesh Nisan is one that affords us the ability to get unstuck and to be able to see the Chachos in the world, and more specifically to see this Chachos in Torah. I want to share with you a chiddush in honor of Parashas HaChodesh, Chodesh Nisan. It's a chiddush that I heard from Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. I was zeicha to be in his shir in Kol Torah. And he said a beautiful idea. And it's very applicable to our lives, as you'll see. There's a pasuk in Kehelas that says, Oyev kesef layispa kesef. Somebody that loves money will never have enough money. Somebody that loves money, somebody that's oyev kesef, if you have a love, a chemdas mom, and you love money, layispa kesef, it's an amazing thing. You wonder sometimes, you see these very wealthy businessmen, people that have billions of dollars. And you wonder, like, why don't they retire? Like, don't they have enough for dairy dairis? In 100 years, maybe in 200 years, they'll be fine. All they have to do is put their money in the bank, interest on $1 billion a day, even at very low interest rates. I don't know the numbers, but it's one day of interest is probably more than most people make an entire year, maybe an entire life. So what do they need this for? Why do they keep going to work every day and having all of the tsaras, the daigas, the headaches, the stress of growing their business, scaling their business? What are they doing? Why are they always obsessing about more and more and more wealth? The Pasuk says in Kehelis, Shlomo HaMelech addresses this, and Shlomo HaMelech was the Asher Mikol Adam. He was not only the Chacham Mikol Adam, he was also the wealthiest man. So whatever Shlomo HaMelech says is literally money in the bank. We can believe whatever Shlomo HaMelech says. He says, if a person has a love for money, he will never, ever stop having that love for money. He wants more and more of it. That's the way it is. If I have $1 billion, yesh leimana, ratza masayim. You want $2 billion. You have $2 billion, you want $4 billion. That's the way it is. And you see it. It plays out every single day. I have yet to find somebody that has a successful business that says, you know, I'm going to retire. It doesn't happen. They just keep on going to work. They love it. They love the business. They love the, I don't know what it is, but there's something about it, like Shlomo HaMelech says, that the more money you have, the more you want. But Rashi, on that pasuk in Kehelis, doesn't say that. Rashi says, Ohev mitzvahs layispa mehem. If you love mitzvahs, you will never have enough mitzvahs. If you're a person that has this obsession about mitzvahs, you'll always want to hoard more and more mitzvahs. You'll never have enough. You do chesed, you want to do more chesed. You daven, you want to daven better, longer. If you learn Torah, you learn one mesecht, you want to learn two mesechts. You have two, four. I want to finish shas. I want to know kol haTorah kula. A person that has a love for mitzvahs, la yispa mehem. That's how Rashi learns this pasuk, which is very strange because the pasuk, Rashi always learns the pshuta shel mikra, right? The Rashi always is teaching up what the pasuk means. All of a sudden, Rashi is giving us some drasha as if it's the pshuta shel mikra. Ayev kesef means, I think, if you love money, you'll never have enough money. Why is Rashi getting religious about this and saying that it's talking about mitzvahs? Why mitzvahs? That's not what the Pasuk says. I'm sorry. So Reb Shlomo Zalman said like this. He said, the word kesef does not mean money. We think it means money. It doesn't mean money. Kesef means desire. Like kisufim. We have in Zmiris sometimes the lashon of kisufin, or the Gemara speaks about kisufin means nichsifa v'gam kolsa nafshi. Nichsifa means I desire, I yearn, I pine for something. That's a lashon of kisufin. The word kesef really means to desire something to the extreme. The term is borrowed for kesef because it happens to be that one thing that a person desires in life. It's money. People desire money. People have and there's a reason that people desire money because, unfortunately, you need money to live. There's a good reason to. They're not desiring, things that they don't need. They're not desiring, to collect leaves outside. They're collecting money because money is what makes the world go round. Unfortunately, you need money. But people have tremendous desire for money. So the word kesef was the word that the Torah uses for money. But it doesn't merely mean money. It means something that you desire. Now, why is there that this mitzvah is true in the world, that a person wants more and more and more money? Why is it? Okay, I understand that what I just said is true. People need to live, but this is beyond. In order to live, you need X number of dollars a year, and certain people, they have a billion X, and they're still not happy. So what's going on? Why are they still, where does this desire come from? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu implant in a human being that he should have such a crazy desire to hoard more and more and more money? Where is this from? For what? Doesn't make sense. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu implanted in a human being this desire for craving to the extent that they're going to make themselves meshuga to do and to hoard and to gather more and more is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu really put this in our genes, put this in our DNA in order to chop mitzvahs. You see, this world is designed to do more and more mitzvahs. The only way, I always use a mashal of when you go to one of these Chuck E. Cheese's or what do you call those places? New Rock City. You know, one of these places, they have a million video games and they have air hockey. And you spend the whole day there with your kids on Chol HaMoed. You're spending hundreds of dollars and you're racking up these points, right? You do skee ball and then, you know, and you get like a few tickets spitting out in the machine. And then you do another thing and more tickets and more tickets and more tickets. At the end of the day, you know, you go up to the to that front desk there, which has like a million prizes. And then there's like the really great prize on top, you know, like, I don't know, whatever it was. But then they have like the cheaper prizes, the mid-sized prizes. I don't know what your experience is, but I could come up with like a pile of tickets like this, and it's always the same thing. You want an eraser or you want a little rubber ball? That's all. You never get more than that. You have to come back like literally a whole year and spend $1 million to get something that's worth more than $5. That's been my experience. I don't know. That's Olam Hazeh. Olam Hazeh is all we're doing, really, and this is what the Ramchal says at the beginning of Misos Yesharim, is we're in this arcade, and we're trying to rack up as many tickets as we can, because when we go up to Shemayim, we have to bring up those tickets. Now, what are the games that we have to play? How do we get these tickets? We get these tickets by doing mitzvahs. So, and it depends on how good we are at these mitzvahs, that more tickets will come out in the machine the more we have kavana by davening. We could have a davening that's shvach, and at the end of davening, maybe one ticket will come out in the machine. Sometimes we have a great davening, and it'll be 100 tickets coming out, 1,000 tickets. Some days we'll learn, and two people could be learning at the same day. One is bottling, and one is looking at his phone half the time and going to coffee and back and forth, and so he maybe gets a couple of tickets, and there's a guy sitting right next to him, and he is learning away, and he's steiging, and he'll get 1,000,000 tickets for today. And the same thing is true for everything, for Lulav and Esrog, and for Shabbos, and for Yontif, and it all goes in half, but we rack up tickets. We might not see the tickets. It's on today, I don't even think they give it tickets, right? It's all on a card. But, you know, but it doesn't matter. But suffice to say, at the end of our life, we come up, and there's this big showcase, and whatever amount of tickets that we got, the amount of points that we have, that's what we could cash in for Tainuge Olam Haba, which is the greatest Idun, the greatest pleasures are there, but it's all based on how much we performed in this world. So what a smart person would do, and this is why Hashem created this thing inside of every human being, a smart person would go his whole life if he understands that everything that he does, every opportunity for a mitzvah is 100x, is 1,000, 1,000,000x in Olam Haba. Every dollar I give could be $1 billion in Olam Haba. So if I'm smart, what will I do all day? I'll give money to tzedakah. I'll help aniyim. I'll volunteer for Taimchei Shabbos. I'll do volunteer for Hatzalah, and I'll learn as much as I can. I'll daven as well as I can. I'm going to be busy with mitzvahs all day, because that's where I'm getting tickets from. You don't I never saw people in the arcade like fall asleep because they want to get more and more tickets. It's fun and they want to do it and they want to get prizes. So they don't sleep. They go and they move and they jump from machine to machine. They want to do more and more. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do mitzvahs, to do his ratzon, because he wants to give us Ratz HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'zakeis es Yisrael l'fichach hir b'lam tayir mitzvahs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us many opportunities to rack up points. We just have to do it. And we have to do it with great greed. We have to do it greedily. We have to be hungry. We have to keep on never tiring, never stopping, always wanting more and more, because then we'll get more Olam Haba. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu put it into our genes. Ayev kesef, ayev mitzvahs, I will never have enough mitzvah because I want more and more. Hashem wants me to want more and more. So I have this desire to never stop. Now, this very same midah, if it's used properly, will get us a beautiful Olam Haba. If it's corrupted, it will make us look like people that we see outside in the world that have billions of dollars and they want more billions of dollars. And we scratch our head, why are they doing that? They're doing it because they have the same thing we have in us. They have the ayev kesef, the love of desire. the love of desire. I want more and more, but they corrupted it. They didn't come to the shmuz. They didn't hear of Shlomo Zalman's Vart. So they think this is normal. I want to keep on hoarding, but they don't understand that that wasn't given to us. That midah of being greedy, of hoarding, was not given to us for money. It was given for us for kesef, but a different type of kesef, the kisuf of mitzvahs. That's what I heard once from Shlomo Zalman. It's a very yisaidistic of art. It means that the whole world, when you see people running and doing and business and growing and scaling and all of that, it all should be a musar shmuz for us that, wow, we should be doing this also. But not necessarily out there in that world. In this world, in this building, we should be those people that are learning a whole night and hopping as much as we can and doing as much chesed because I can't get enough. I have an insatiable appetite for mitzvahs, for doing the Ratzon Hashem. And this is played out in the world outside with seeing people that are running after materialism and running, never having enough, and it's never good enough, it's never new enough, it's never fancy enough, it's never big enough. But that is all really for us to learn that that's their desires. They don't understand what the point of kisuf is. Our kisuf is ayav mitzvahs, leyispa man. If I have 100 mitzvahs, I want 200 mitzvahs. If I have 200, I want 400 mitzvahs. I always want to double and compound the amount of mitzvahs that I have. I want to apply the vart of Reb Shlomo Zalman to Parshas HaChodesh. Very similar idea as Reb Shlomo Zalman's was said by Reb Baruch Ber Leibowitz, the great Kamenetzer Rosh Hashiva. And he says like this, listen to this vart. He says that there's some taiva in this world, and it's called the news. The news. Everybody is obsessed with the news. I don't listen to the radio. I haven't listened to the radio for years because I got very depressed from it, but there were times that, you know, when I was a bacher and whatever, I would listen to the news. And you listen to a radio station, I don't know if it's still on even, 1010, I'm assuming it's still on, 1010 Winds, and their motto was, you give us 22 minutes, we'll give you the world. And every 22 minutes, there was another news cycle. And it was mamish the same thing, kimat, as 22 minutes earlier. But I could sit in a car, if I'm driving, you know, for an hour, I'll sit and listen to that same news play out three times. I chazered the same news again and again and again. It's the same thing. It's not even new. But you listen to it again and again. Everybody is going on, you know, that has an obsession about news. They're watching, you know, Was ist Neues. Was ist Neues means what's new, right, in Yiddish. What's new? Like, everybody wants to know what's new. What's new in the world? And they're buying newspapers, or they're watching online, and they're magazines, and, you know, listening to the radio. And I want to know what's new. I want to know what's new. What's new? What happened? Where does that come from, Master Baruch Ber? What's this obsession with news? Who cares? Does it matter to you what's going on out there? How many? I'm not talking about Eretz Yisrael. I'm saying in general, whatever, if there's a news story here, a news story there, like, what difference is it? Why are you so into news? Baruch Ber, by the way, never looked at a newspaper. If he saw a newspaper on the table, he would go like that. He didn't want to touch it. He would go like this with his elbow to toss it off the table. He wanted no part of news. Where is this obsession for news coming from? So he says, it's the same thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into our teva, into our nature, this interest, this obsession with news. But it's not the news of the world that we're really supposed to be running after. It's chidushei Torah. There's something in the world called a chidush in Torah, which means that there's Torah. You have Chumash, you have Gemara, you have Nach, you have Halacha. There's the basics of Torah. And then there's this new layer of Torah called being mechadish in Torah. I want to have something new in Torah. I want to be mechadish something. I want to tell you a chiddush in learning. It might be a short vart that I thought of. It might be an idea on Rashi. It might be a diak in a pasuk, in a lashon of a pasuk. It might be a super big, beautiful chiddush on a sugya and shas that we're learning. It might be a chabura that I'm writing. according to the Netziv, Chiddush doesn't even mean any of that. Chiddush doesn't mean that you have to, you know, discover, you know, the wheel. It means if you learn something a little bit deeper and you have a better understanding of what you just finished learning, that's a Chiddush also, because it means that you've uncovered a new understanding in your learning. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Chiddushim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Chiddushei Torah. And that's why we are also supposed to constantly try to mechadesh chidushei Torah, try to understand something better, and if we're on the madrega, to be mechadesh, to create something new. That's why the world is obsessed with what's new, because it's not for the news. I want to hear what's going on on Wall Street. I want to know what's going on in sports. I want to know what's going on in Afghanistan. I want to know what's going on in Iraq. No, that's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. He didn't give us this obsession about news for that. He gave a Yid an obsession about news because he wants us to mechadesh chidushei Torah. I want to know what's new. Give me something new. Not that type of news. When I ask you what's new, I don't want to hear, you know, what's new here or there in the world. I want to hear what's new in Torah. Tell me something. Tell me a chiddush in learning. Remember just now a story. I think it was about Reb Nosson Tzvi Finkel, but it might be about. It's either about him or a Beinish, a Shver, that he used to go, and if anyone would come to his house and tell him a chiddush on the sugya that he was learning, he would give him like real money. And so people would line up, Yeshiva Bachrim, Avrecha maybe, would line up and tell him Chidushim. And he was so overjoyed. And the way it's put in the biographies is that, like, he must have heard the same Chiddush said in a little bit of a different way on, let's say, Palgin and Diburo. Take any Sugya and Shas. How many hundreds of times did he hear the same Chiddush from, maybe in a little bit of a different way, from a yeshiva bacher? But every single time he heard the chiddush, he was so overjoyed by it, and he quickly gave money and he complimented the boy, because for him, he loved chiddush. He loved anything new in Torah. There was a recognition that this is what is the most valuable thing that we could do. The most valuable form of ischatris for a ben Torah is to work on Torah, to be able to be mechadish something for yourself. Work on something for yourself. If you're being Maver Sedra, it's fine, you know, take a Rashi, go through it, think about it a little bit, let it sit in your head a little bit, try to ask a question on it, try to be Medayik something in it, a Ramban, an Arachayim HaKadosh, whatever it is, and that'll be your Chiddush. You learn in Gemara. Learn Rashi, Taisus, try to understand what the Nekudas Machlekes is. You're learning a Rishon on, or an Achron, make Diyukim. Those little things are not little. Those are huge. And in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, that's HaMechadish B'tuvah B'chayim Tam Ma'aseh B'reishis. There's a recreation of the world every time Torah is being created, because the world is only for Torah. The purpose of this world is for Torah. When we're Mechadish in Torah, we're tapping into the Hischatris of the Bria, that every single moment there's a recreation of creation. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu recreate Mechadish B'tuvah B'chayim every day, another new creation, because he wants us to Mechadish Chidushei Torah. He wants us to really, we might be learning Torah, but unless we're able to really get deeper in our learning, to have a new understanding of Torah, to have a deeper understanding, to ask a question, and maybe to come up with our own answer, our own mahalach, our own approach, it's not the same Torah. And that's why, you know, until we make the Torah our own by doing this, we're not going to have the sipuk that we should be having in Torah. If you're wondering, why don't we have sipuk, we've discussed this many times, because we don't learn properly, and we definitely don't chazer it, and then we don't remember it, and it's depressing. If a person chazers again and again, he knows it, he owns it, that's a chiddush. If he owns it and he writes up a summary of whatever he learned, the machlekes rishayim, machreinim, and he's able to have that, that's a chiddush. And if he's able to come up with his own unique ideas on it, that's another chiddush. These are different layers of chiddush, but all of these chiddushim are what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. And Parshas HaChiddush is a time that we can re-embrace this approach to learning. A new look at learning, a new understanding of learning, a deeper perception in learning, to be able to see the Kayach HaChidish, not just in the Bria when we go out and we see a new tree, the tree starting to bloom. That should give us inspiration. Wow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is starting up the Bria all over again. Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, HaNitzanim, Niru Baretz, Eitz HaZam HaHirgiyah, the birds are starting to chirp again, and the fruits are starting to develop, and the grass is growing. It's a beautiful time of the year. It shows that things are starting up again, that life is coming, that what seemed to be dead outside is now coming back to life. That should be an inspiration for us in the Beis Medrash, that we too should have hischatris in our learning and try to find as many chidushim as we can. That's the point of chiddush. Just like the point of money is to, in order to inspire us to do more mitzvahs, the point of what's new out in the world is really what's to inspire us to be interested in anything new in learning, because learning is the most chashuva thing to us. There's a beautiful medrash. The medrash says that, if you want to look it up, it's in Bereishis Rabba, Tzadi Zayin Gimel. It says, Ma dogim halalu gedelim hamayim. Klal Yisrael is compared to a fish. V'yidgu laroi v'karev aretz. We're compared to fish. How are we compared to fish? What is that? You know, how? In what way are we like fish? So the Medrash says that just like these fish, gedelim b'mayim, they grow up in water. Where do fish live? They can only live in water. But kivan sheyaredes tipa achas milamayla, mikablin oisa b'tzimayim, k'mishalei tamu tamayim mimayim. What happens when it rains? I used to do a lot of fishing when I was growing up as a kid. Everyone knows the best day to fish is when it's raining. When it's raining, the fish are up. They're not sleeping. They're coming up. Why are they up? Because the rain that's coming into the water, into the top of the water, for some strange reason, the fish go up to get that new rain. To get the new rain. Very strange, right? But that's why if anyone has a fish tank at home, they could experiment. This is the truth with fish. If you have a fish tank and you put water in it, and there's like new water, fresh water coming in, watch the fish. They're all going to swim up to try to drink up some of that new water. But they live in water, for crying out loud. What do they need more water for? They have enough water to live. It's not like they're living in an inch of water and you're giving them water. They're living in a big tank of water, living in an ocean, living in a river. Why is it that when a few drops of rain come down, kivan sheyarda tipa achas milamalo, once a drop comes down, mekablon eset simayin kemishalei tamu tamayim mimayim. That's how the Medrash says, kachem Yisrael. Gedalim b'mayim b'tayra. We grow up, we develop when we're learning Torah. We grow up with Torah. We learn Torah, you know, from when we're kids, and we in elementary school, and high school, and Eretz Yisrael, Beis Medrash. We're learning Torah day and night. But kivan shein shaimim devar chadash minat Torah. You want to hear a chiddush in learning? Yeah, I want to hear a chiddush in learning. Tell me what's the chiddush. They are mekabel, they accept, they drink it up. People want to hear chidushei Torah. If you don't believe me, if you think, well, I don't know what you're talking about, I don't, you know, go to any svarim store. Go to a svarim store. The oldest svarim store around, I think, in America that still exists is a svarim store in Borough Park. It's called Beagleisen. Beagleisen is not one of these, like, you know, all the svarim stores today are like Judaica superstores. Everything became like very, you know, marketable. So you have a section with svarim, which is beautiful. There's also selling tzitzis with Batman on it, and then they're selling, Nagelwasser cups, everything. This is one of the old svarim stores, like they used to make them. It's only svarim. It's primarily Hebrew svarim. And they have a few samplings of, you know, Great Jewish Haggadah and stuff. But other than that, it's just really, it's just, you know. And then what happened was that every single, you know, time you go back into the store, it's like a new store. Meaning there's a table like that runs through the middle. So there's farm shanks on the slide. But through the middle of the store runs these long tables. And it's not a big store. I mean, the whole store is maybe from here to the end of this room. Maybe, but probably even less. But It's full of brand new svarim that are coming out. Brand new svarim. And I once asked the owner, I think it was Nifter last year or maybe during COVID, I asked the owner of this, he's an old man already, he's been in svarim business forever. He said, how many, and like all the new svarim that come out from Eretz Yisrael in America, they ship him first. Like he gets the first dibs on any, if you want a new sefer, that's where you go. I said, how many new svarim do you get in? Like every time I come in, it's a brand new store. He says he gets on average about 75 new svarim a week. Brand new svarim every single week. And then, I don't know what happens to them, but like, you know, if they don't sell, I guess he moves them to a warehouse or he gives them back to the distributor. I don't know. But the point is, and this was going back, you know, probably 15, 20 years ago. That's before that it became much more easy to, you know, with computers and, you know, different types of technology made printing. The point is that people are writing svarim, and if people are writing svarim, presumably there are people that are buying these svarim. And what are these svarim? These are chidushei Torah. Some of it is real chidushei Torah that like really new pshatim in whatever the topic is. Sometimes it's not new, but it's like repackaged. Or like they, you know, they'll find a topic and they'll explore it and whatever it is, it might be, you know, any topic under the sun that might be Azmanim or, you know, Egla Rufa or whatever, and they'll do a whole job on the Sefer, on that topic. They'll research it and then they'll come out with a whole big Sefer, beautiful, and people are buying them. If people aren't buying them, they wouldn't be putting them out. So why are people buying them? Is there such a, you had this need, you were always wondering, you know, when is there going to be another sefer on, you know, on such a topic coming out? Like how many svarim on Hilchos Shabbos have been produced already? How many svarim on brachas? How many svarim? People want it. Why do people want it? Because Yidden love chidushei Torah. They love anything new. When it comes to Torah, I want to hear it. Give me more. I'm like that fish that even though I'm surrounded by Torah, that's not enough for me. I have an insatiable appetite for chiddush. I have an insatiable appetite for mitzvahs, and I have an insatiable appetite for chiddush that the world thinks is new. The whole industry, which is a multi-trillion-dollar industry, the news industry, that's all for Torah. They don't understand it. They think it's news, news, news. Everybody wants to eat up news because they don't have Torah. But for us, we understand, says Rabbi Baruch Ber, that the whole industry of news is really this netiyah that we have in us to find something new in Torah, ourselves and others. That's what the Medrash is telling us. Fish go and they're looking so thirstily for a new drop of water, even though they're surrounded by it. That's how a Yid is also. A Yid is, or should be. We should be interested in anything new that we can think of in Torah. Our own chidushim is especially chashuv. But if we could buy a new sefer, if we could find another, you know, haggadah. I'm joking about Great Jewish Haggadah, but people tell me every year their husbands or they have a minig to buy a new haggadah. They go to Sfarim, they want a new haggadah. Why do you need a new haggadah? You go, my father, Olav Shalom, you come to my house in Long Beach, and he has like three shelves of just Haggadahs, three or four shelves full of every year. He'd buy every Haggadah on the market. There's a Chasam Sefer Haggadah, there's a Rosham Shafal Hirsch Haggadah, there's a Netziv Haggadah, there's a, you know, a Barbanel Haggadah, a Ramban Haggadah, a Ramban Haggadah. It doesn't end. How many Haggadahs do you need? Every year you want more Haggadahs. Haggadahs, I think, are the most published book. After Siddur and Chumash, the most published, the most commentated work is Haggadah for some reason. Why is it? You take your old Maxwell House Haggadah and use that. What do you need all these Haggadahs for? The answer is there's something about a Yid deep down inside that we yearn for chiddush. We want newness in everything that has to do with mitzvahs, but specifically when it comes to Torah. There's a sefer that I saw by the name of Birchas HaTorah, and he brings this medrash in the Hakdama. And he says a beautiful chiddush on this medrash about the fish, because I saw some people were giving me funny looks, and it is a strange thing. Why is it, Taka, that in Metzias, why does a fish go after water? A fish lives in water. They live in fresh water. There's a fresh water tank in the tank, and fresh water, and it's constantly making water. It's not like it's stale water, it's fresh. There's an engine that's, you know, that's cooking it up or something. Why if I drop water, is the fish like going after? What's the obsession with this water? They're in water. It's not fish food that you're dropping in. That I understand. What's water? Why are they going after the water? He says like this. that a fish who lives in water understands water. All fish knows is water. All fish knows is water. It's all he lives in water. He needs water. If fish is outside of water, he's finished. So he's aficionado? He's like an expert when it comes aficionado. He's a connoisseur of water. That's what he is. He's just called Kule water. So he understands. He's a mafunik when it comes to water. He knows how great water is because he lives in water. He needs water. That's his oxygen. And so if there's a new type of water that comes in, he has to have it. You know, it's lahavdil, like there's these, like with technology you find, it's the same thing, right? If there's like an iPhone, I don't know, what number iPhone are they up to now? 13, 12, 14, whatever. So if I have an iPhone 10, I need an iPhone 11. I need that 10th camera on the back. It has to be cold kulay, you know, lenses. I can't have, you know, if you have one lens, you know, that's really, you know, you're like from the Stone Age. If you have two lenses, nebuch, and if you have three lenses, you're behind. You have to have four, five, six lenses. I don't know why, but you need so many lenses on your camera. And if you have an old camera, it doesn't pass. I have to get a new, I have to keep trading it in. Why is that? Because I live with my phone all day. This is what I this is all I know. This is my, so like a fish who's a mumcha in water, people are mumcha in whatever is interesting, whatever they live in, whatever world. I need this. This is what I need. I need to always be on the cutting edge. I can't have an old laptop. I need a brand new laptop. I need a new car. I need a new e-scooter. I need whatever the new technology. I don't want to have old stuff. I want to have new because this is what I understand. This is what I love. Whatever a person loves is what they want more of. They want to get the newest. That's what a fish is. A fish is surrounded by iPhones. But if a new iPhone drops in the tank, then, you know, then he wants it. There's a great story, by the way. I can't help myself, but there's one of the great stories about Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs was the founder of Apple. He was a genius, but he was a little bit of a meshuggah. He admitted that he was. And, you know, he had famous ads about Apple that, you know, in order that the crazy people, they're the ones that made a difference in the world. And, you know, that's what, you know, so how crazy was this man? He was like, he wanted to create, like, I don't know if it was the iPad or the iPhone, whatever it was, and they came into his office, the developers, and they were working for a long, long time to make a very thin product. And, you know, he said, it's nice. As they finally came in, they were working in the labs for, I don't know, months and months and months, trying to get it thinner, thinner, and the batteries, you know, smaller, and the wire boards or whatever inside a phone, everything as thin as possible. And they said, he said, looks nice. He says, but I think it could be thinner. They said, nope, Steve, can't be thinner. This is as thin as humanly possible. Can't make it thinner. He says, there's no air in this? No air. It's completely. He says, really? He takes the phone. He had a fish tank in his office. He drops this phone that they're working for months on, day and night. He drops in the fish tank, and there are bubbles that start coming up from inside the phone. He says, come back when there's no bubbles that come out of the phone. So there's bubbles, that means there's air inside the phone, means it could be thinner. That's obsession for wanting something so mechudishtik. I want chiddush. But that chiddush is not a chiddush that Hashem gave the world in order to make a new iPhone, a thinner iPhone, a better mousetrap. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this concept of innovation, this concept of newness, because a Yid is supposed to live in Torah, and therefore he's a connoisseur of Torah, and as a connoisseur of Torah, I want more, I want better, I want improvement, I want to see the best Svarim on the market, I want to see a new and improved Mishnah Berurah with another type of Dirshu thing going on the side. I want to see another. I want more. What's wrong with the old mission? I want more. I want new. I live in this society. I need state of the art. I need state of the art. You know, when I was learning Gemara, there was no the Dibra Maskels of Rashi were not bolded. That was like an innovation. You know, to bold the Dibra Maskels of Rashi. Today, I don't think a person could even learn a Gemara without bold of Divrei Maaseh. We're so used to it, we expect it. But when it came out, I'm sure there were people, Kanoim, that said, this is not the Derech, it's not the Maaseh, but it took off. I remember when the Frankel Rambam came out. Frankel Rambam was a huge, huge step in the Rambam. The Rambam had the same Tzuras Hadaf, for hundreds of years. And all of a sudden, this man, Shapsi Frankel in Eretz Yisrael, he decided he was going to make a brand new Rambam. And he had Askamas from Gedolei Yisrael, the Stipler, and he made, but he changed the Tzuras Hadaf on the Rambam, and he put all, he did a lot of research. He got all the old nusachs in the Rambam, so a lot of the kashas that the Achrayim have on the Rambams go away because you see a different that the Rambam that wasn't really the Rambam's nusach. The Rambam was a mistake that crept into it. Anyway, he did a real job, and then the back he has the Sefer Mafteach. Anyway, but I remember my 12th grade Rebbe like asked me once in the middle of Shir, Moshe, get me a Rambam, So I brought him a Frankel Rambam. That was all the rage. It was just coming out. Then I said a Rambam. Like, he couldn't use a Rambam that was new. He didn't want that. But, he wanted the old Tzuras Hadaf. He knew the Rambam exactly how the Rambam is lined up by the old way. But ultimately, Klal Yisrael embraced it because Klal Yisrael wants new. We want that Chiddush. We want the Chiddush in the way the Svarim. The Masifta is like unbelievable. I think the Masifta is like the greatest. What the Masifta did for Torah, for Gemara is unbelievable. The way it opens up everything. You have to look in the back. You have every Chiddush and Halacha and Agada and Taisis. Rashi, unbelievable. Klal Yisrael wants this. Klal Yisrael needs it. They're like fish. They want more and better and new and improved. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Chiddush. That's a good thing. But I don't want new iPhone. I don't want a new car. I don't want a new this. I want a new Torah. I want a Chiddush in Torah. I want my Svarim to have that Chiddush. I want that my learning should have a Chiddush in it. I want to be able to have. But you have to have this. If you don't have this feeling that I don't need new Svarim, I'm fine. It's not important. Then we need a Chiddush. We need a Shabbos HaChaydesh, a Parsha HaChaydesh more than ever. Because this is the time to tap in to this Kayach of Chiddush in the world. It's ours for the asking. We have to ask for it. We have to daven for it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'sein V'harenin B'sar HaSecha, open my eyes in Torah, V'dablin M'tzai Secha, V'yachil V'yachil. I want to have this Chiddush. I want to have the ability to sit and learn. I want to have the ability to drink up Torah and to desire nothing else but to drink up Torah. I want to be Mechadish. I want to buy a notebook and be able to write down Chidushim in it. And I want to be able to, like the Netziv says, have a deeper understanding of it, an understanding that I didn't have yesterday. And that can only be done by chazering and by learning it deeper and with a good chavrusa and with a rebbe and go to shir. But that chiddush, which is what the whole world exists for, is now. It's parshas hachaydish. Hachaydish is a lachem. The kayach of chiddush is yours. It's lachem. It's for you. When? Today. Shabbos hachaydish. Parshas hachaydish. Resh Chaydesh Nisan. Nisan is Rishon Hulochem L'Chad Sheshana. The first of the month on Shabbos, which is the Chiddush and Briyas Ha'olam, on Shabbat Parashat, there's no better time. If you're looking to tap into this Kayach HaChiddush, now is the time to do it. There's no better time than now. Now is screaming Chiddush. You'll see the drops of Torah dropping in the ocean now, and you could swim up to get it. That's ours right now. And this is what we should be doing. This is what we should be doing. This is what Yeshua Bachar does. He tries to have an Abbas HaTaira. I'm going to say tomorrow in Birkas HaChaydesh, Chaim Shesh Bam Abbas HaTaira. What is Abbas HaTaira? I love the Taira. I love the Taira. It's all I want to do. I just want to learn. I want to get smart. I want to have the Kedushas HaTaira. I just want to know things. I want to be able to know things. I want to be able to understand things. But you have to spend time. It takes time. There's no shortcuts. I think the greatest problem with technology, besides for all the schmutz on the internet, and besides for all, it's just that it sort of just like fries our brain from being able to think in a deep way. It's so superficial. We just like see one thing and then we go to the next screen and next screen and whatever. We're just like perusing. We're just like quickly going through things. We don't have, there's no depth to it. Everybody's doing it. Obviously, there's no bigger. If you go on a subway and you see every teenager, every single it doesn't matter. You don't have to be a big chacham to look on the internet. Everybody's doing it. So it's obviously there's something very, very, very superficial that dumbs down people's minds. And the more we use it, the more we're getting unsmart. People that are smart in the world are still able to see the importance of sitting with a sefer, learning it, and enjoying it, and savoring it, and talking about it, and thinking about it, and being mechadish in it, and that is exciting. Excitement is when you're able to have a newness in the world outside, when the trees start blossoming, the birds are chirping, and I know my place in this grand scheme of creation is that I too have to bring my kayach of chiddush into the world. And now is the time, in Mitzvah Hashem, we should all be very, very matzliach. We should have a beautiful Nisan, b'Nisan nigalu, b'Nisan asidan ligalu.